RTI.
Avasti Landlubbers. Back to part two.
A postcard from Bob Brad with Eric Wiltshire over here, and over there it is.
Me, Lee G. Banks from the 1980s.
I think 70s is probably more accurate.
all the time.
Straight on to part two. Now, boys and girls, you know we've been whinging on about you can't trust the internet and our little campaign to try and clean it up. Well, it didn't work.
Nope.
But think about it. If you want to look this up, you have to look up it, and I will give you the case number in the South District of New York. It's number 04-04607. So it's 04 minus, if you like, 04607. And it's a case that came up between Tiffany and eBay.
EastEnders.
No. Tiffany and eBay. Now, what Tiffany did is they tried to go to court over stuff that was being sold on eBay. But eBay Inc. has won dismissal of this case against Tiffany & Co., which was accusing eBay of selling counterfeit Tiffany jewellery on its website. And Tiffany have actually lost the case.
Unbelievably.
And it's, I have to say, this could only happen in America, for goodness sake. There's a whole bunch of guys out there who are really looking at this and going, they can't find eBay guilty. It's the freedom of the internet. And I'm going, you idiots.
You idiots. That word Eric used a few weeks ago.
Don't you realise how this discredits the wonderful thing that is the internet? Because you silly beggars won't clean it up properly. You've just given it the most negative publicity that could ever happen in the eyes of normal people.
That's right.
It annoys me. Now, and the problem that comes up from this is if you have goods on eBay and you're not sure if they're genuine or counterfeit, what does it do to the eBay brand?
It doesn't. Of course, absolutely, yeah, you're right.
Well, apparently in court, eBay said the problem with fighting fraud is already costing the company £20 million a year.
And so you know, what? And well, you're putting the stuff on, you're profiting for it. Take the blows.
Well, you know, I commend them for spending that much money trying to clean their act up. I do that.
See, Mr. Politician again.
But it doesn't.
A radical politician.
No, it's the court that's wrong.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Absolutely, I agree with you. And can I just tell you something about this?
Well, no, hang on. Let me just give you the court ruling. Yeah. eBay did not itself sell counterfeit Tiffany goods. Only the fraudulent vendors did it. Excuse me. What are you going to say? You're going into the bank. Well, you go into a bank, and by accident, they give you some counterfeit money. All right? You stand in the bank, you look at it, you go, oh, it's fake. You go back to the counter, they can see you on the old, you know, security cameras, you haven't gone anywhere, and you say, excuse me, Lee, this is counterfeit money, give me some real stuff. And the bank says, oh, no, sod off, I'm not doing that. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, it isn't the same thing, because if you do get counterfeit money, you do take it back to the bank and they have to exchange it. If they
exactly.
refuse to change,
it's the same deal.
Yeah, of course it is. But there's a more sort of slightly more sinister aspect to this. And I'll tell you, this is an absolutely true story. It won't take a second. There is a friend of mine.
Your second's
who
up.
Bought. Right, yeah. He bought the copyright to Silvat, which is a form of, you know, pottery popular across the world. Mm-hmm. Silvat went out of business. He bought the moulds and the copyright and the numbers. Mm-hmm. And he started. Well, but a lot of people were buying it off him and putting it on eBay. Now, eBay stopped him selling it because they said it was counterfeit. Now, it wasn't counterfeit. He bought the legal right to reproduce that. Uh-huh. Now, in the Tiffany case, they've said, carry on doing fakes of Tiffany. That's all right by us, lads, or the court. This poor bloke who went into a business by reproducing something of ancient value.
You're drifting. You're drifting. Right. That's better. Well, I can tell you what the answer is. Because this case was Tiffany NJ Inc., which is New York, New Jersey, rather, Inc., et al., versus eBay Inc. US. So it seems to me that if it's in the US, it doesn't matter. If you're a UK company, don't care. It's ridiculous.
Well, I agree with you. And you've got to remember, eBay is just a big car boot sale anyway.
Yes, and I would get sued if I told you what I really thought of eBay and how it started. and what it used to do. So I won't. You can just take that from me. In business, I have a strict rule. And I seriously do, boys and girls. If somebody comes to me and says, will you give this person who used to work for you a reference, I either give them a really good, glowing reference, or I decline and say, I'm sorry, I don't do a reference. Yeah, in the case of eBay, no reference.
That's right. And may I say, in the same vein, without any rancor or anything else, that I bought a power washer off eBay a few weeks ago, and it's like it has prostate problems.
Oh dear. This is good for us. We like this.
We do.
Especially for Lee. Yes. apparently, because Bruce Willis, who's 55 years old, is still a hit with the ladies, that's making things good for people like Lee. Because
absolutely, I'm just eye candy for sophisticated women.
Well, this is it. It says, because today's older man, Lee, increasingly holds more appeal for women.
Yeah, exactly. See, I've always said this to you, and you've always denied it.
Yeah, can you talk into your microphone, please? You're so quiet.
I'm sorry, I am talking into my microphone. I think I just moved away as there was a woman walking past the house, and I was trying to show her my facial features.
But don't scare her off.
It's just a bit of market research.
Don't scare her off. Apparently, the trend towards women marrying and having children in their late 30s and early 40s has also decreased the age difference. Today, it's very acceptable to have a partner who's 20 years younger than you, or in Lee's case, 30 years younger than you. And this is all down to Bruce Willis and Sex in the City, Chris North.
Like that, yeah.
All doing really well. James Bond's Piers Brosnan, who's 57. Well, of course, he's a hit with the ladies. Have you seen him?
He's a bit scrawny and he smells of cigarettes.
Excuse me. He's not scrawny. We just are not fit. The comparison between Piers Brosnan and you and I is just like oil and water.
No, it isn't. I am gorgeous. I am eye candy for the sophisticated woman. It's you. The only TV or film stars you look like are Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney.
I'll have to turn you up, dear boy. I'm sorry, boys and girls, but he's a bit quiet today, isn't he?
I'm sorry, I'm doing my best. I do have the microphone in my mouth.
I'll turn you up a bit. Apparently a woman's suing a cinema for showing ads. Lee says, so she should.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should all sue, says Lee. Why would you want to sue a cinema for showing ads, Lee?
Well, it's not only sue a cinema, it's sue television for it. Look, there's a basic rule in life, right? There's a whole industry built out of TV meals, television meals, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
You know, and that's based because a lot of people like to sit in front of the television and have a meal.
Right.
Now, what happens now is that you sit down with your meal and the theme tune to Coronation Street comes on, and that means it's adverts. And where adverts used to be over in 2 minutes, so you could have just had a couple of chips or something, now they go on for up to 7 or 8 minutes. And that means...
That's because you're an old person.
It's nothing to do with it. All they do is advertise. You're sitting there having your tea, watching adverts for Stena Stairlift, tell a lady panty control things. How many couches do you want to buy in your lifetime?
Well, Lee, if you're a modern person, you watch the programme on delay by a few minutes, and then that's because you're an old person, and when it gets to the ad break, you skip forward that, and it's actually, there's a huge amount of research done on this. People just don't watch television adverts the way they used to.
No, but actually, you can't get away from it. It's like being in America. Last time I was in America, I remember there was a Royal Bobness concert on the TV, and we started with an advert. It showed a quick flash of his Royal Bobness waving at the camera. Then it went to an advert. Then you heard the first notes of the song, and it went to an advert. Then he started to sing, so it went to an advert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's commercialism gone absolutely insane.
This will make sense to everybody in America. Sit and watch the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year, in America, on American television. And trust me, you can have a meal on the ad breaks. I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable.
Well, I just said you can have a meal at these adverts now.
Yeah, but all you got to do, Lee, is use your... I'm not going to give the brand names away, but one of the digital recorders or the buffer system... Well, get one!
No! Just take the adverts off or let me sue!
Well, in which case then... So take the adverts off of independent commercial television...
Yeah.
...and have a blank screen.
It'd be far more interesting, I promise.
You see, no answer whatsoever. Anyway, this woman apparently is going to sue... No surprises, boys and girls. She's a lawyer.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with that? He's better than the swimming pool attendant suing. You know about swimming. She knows about the law.
I'm trying to think...
Whatever your name is.
What was that?
Chen Exit Makiyoko.
I'm trying to think... I mean, I can't remember any of the films I've been to see in the cinema. But I do remember... It got this wonderful tune at the beginning... And it's where you used to get all the commercials before the films in the movie scene.
Oh, yeah. What was it called?
I can't remember. But I've got the advert going through my head for the orange pop drink.
The one that comes and slaps you around the face?
Before those days. I can't remember what it was called now. But somebody tell me. It was before the movie started. And then it was on during the break where you used to get the advert for Mivi ice creams.
Pathé!
I think it was. Anyway, you see, do it like that. Britain has recently passed the 500 million mark for digital music downloads. The days of vinyl are slowly disappearing out into the...
What would you do for ashtrays if vinyl disappeared?
Well, no, the thing I used to do with, like, the Bay City Rollers was make pop plants out of their LPs.
And
easy.
Then smoke them. No, that's terrible. That's just a joke.
I know it is. But apparently, this is very true, that the UK is now really, really, really getting into it. And that was a record, and they think there's going to be another record in 2010 as people stop wasting time buying CDs and vinyl. CDs, by the way, take decades... Well, crikey, did you hear that? That was Petra coughing. They take hundreds and hundreds of years to break down in landfill.
Yeah.
They're not eco-friendly.
That's a very good point. All the vinyl and CDs and stuff like that are pretty dangerous to our universe, aren't they?
Well, the vinyl you can melt down quite easily because it's vinyl and you can reuse it quite...
And make ashtrays.
Yeah, I mean, they do recycle CDs and actually make brake pads for cars out of them. Which is kind of recycling-y a bit. Well, not the whole thing, but the metal-y bits. And so I suppose there is some... But seriously, there used to be a spate, 10 years ago, where every day you went to the letterbox and there was a free CD-ROM from a well-known internet service provider. And then loudmouth radio journalist pointed out to them that it takes 500 years for CDs to break down, and they stopped it. Funny,
which
that.
Is a good thing.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
I did.
That's a good thing.
So, yeah,
were you the loudmouth radio presenter?
Yes. I am that man. This has just got to be Lee. Beautiful story. Love it. Cuddly toys with a sick difference.
I know. Do you think this is one of the sickest things you've ever heard of? A German toy maker has unveiled a controversial new range of animals which all have psychiatric illnesses. Unbelievable. Yeah, they've got a snake who suffers from terrifying hallucinations, Dolly the sheep with a multiple personality disorder, and a crocodile with an irrational fear of water. Well, that's really impressing you children, is it? Here's an insane crocodile for Christmas duck. You know what? If you got a mad dog for Christmas, you'd have it put down, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
There's a firm trying to make money out of it.
But with that this week and the naked pens last week, I think they should be doing something in Germany.
It's a funny thing, though, when you think that how we are viewing our children. Is this actually a sign of how we view our children?
I don't know, but it's a sad indictment if we are viewing them that way, Lee. I'd worry.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving along. Again, this is a great story from Pop TV in Slovenia. Lee.
What have I got to do? Again, all right. Well, this is the story.
I'm just having
tea. I don't see anything greatly wrong with this, actually. A newsreader, because I do it here. A newsreader in Slovenia who's been caught reading the news without his pants on. He did have his undies on, his trolleys on, right? But he didn't have his pants
trolleys?
On.
Trolleys? Trolleys?
Yeah, that's what young people call your undergarments.
Arr, Jim lad, get me trolleys, arr.
Yeah, get my trolleys off, arr. Yeah, and anyway, yeah. So anyway, they panned back on the camera as he pushed his chair back. Mm-hmm. As he finished the bulletin, they panned back on the camera, and there he was. He hadn't got any pants on, man. I think that's really funny.
But you know, that
I know it's all been done before. Just,
yeah, it's like most of the TV shows I used to do. Because we were sitting behind the desk, you never had you had like a posh top on.
Yeah,
but then
that's
you'd
right.
have your. Normally, if it was a long broadcast and it was live, I'd just have shorts on, shorts and trainers.
But there's no difference, really, is there?
No, because you can't see it.
Exactly. We should all do it. This could actually be the real naked truth.
I mean,
truth.
Right now, we're doing topless radio, but you can't tell.
No, and you're topless, I'm bottomless, so actually, between us, we are naked.
The Beep sponsors research to see how fast snails crawl. This is where Lee now takes a huge, great pop at the BBC and says, now that's a world service. What are you talking about?
Well, if you think what you've actually got, right, you've got the BBC, who, on the face of it, are actually doing something which is really good. They're sponsoring four amateur scientists.
Uh-huh.
Right, this is Radio 4, right, the flagship of BBC Radio, right?
Yeah.
they're turning their ideas, these entrepreneuristic amateur scientists, they're turning their ideas
uh-huh.
into real-life experiments.
Right.
Right. The finalists have just been revealed. And here they are. Here's the finalist, Mr. Eric.
Yes.
You see if you can possibly make this worthwhile.
Okay.
Right, the first one is Ruth Brooks, age 59. A retired home tutor from Devon, she used to teach owls something, who wants to discover the homing distance of the garden snail so she can stop them from eating her petunias.
All right, yeah.
That's the first one.
Go on, then.
I'm going to leave the second one to last because I think that's just amazing. Mm. Right, number three is Nina Jones, 17, from Buckinghamshire. She wants to look how people of different ages present themselves online through the Facebook photos.
Yeah,
that's really important.
Actually, I can see that, yeah, because we're a bit posy.
Bit posy?
Yeah, we're a bit posy on the Facebook. Oh, come on! You should hear him, boys and girls. We do some sort of social networking little project, Lee and I. He goes, no, not that photo. No. I don't know. Oh, no, not that one. You should.
Yeah, but
what a poser!
I might catch the stat. They have to see me at my best. At my best, at my best.
Yeah, go on then. Next.
Right, number four is John Rowlands, age 41, an amateur astronomer from North Wales,
yeah.
who wants to research the frequency of noctilucent clouds, luminous layers of ice crystals that form in the high atmosphere. Yeah, very good.
Right.
It's called rate 8.
Yeah, go on.
Right, and number two, which to me is the most incredible. Are you ready for this?
Go on then.
Sam O'Kell, age 35, a croupier from Cheshire. Never trust a croupier. He wants to test his theory that there is more room at the front of a music gig than there is at the back.
Well, I have to say, Lee.
So what?
I have to say, I think I'm with you that the BBC have made a mistake.
I think it's incredible. How ridiculously stupid can you be? Not one of those things will have any effect on anybody's life that could be considered to be worthwhile.
So I agree with you, this programme's rubbish.
This programme's rubbish? Why? Are we on it?
No. This science programme is rubbish.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're gonna try and shoot me out of the water.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the four finalists were chosen by a panel of judges, chaired by Professor Lord Robert May, former Chief Science Advisor to the Government. He was joined by clinical psychologist Professor Tanya Byron, acoustics engineer Professor Trevor Cox, and Mark Henderson, science editor of the newspaper, the London Times. What do you expect when you put...
Well, the BBC could have told them all to grow up and do something proper.
See, the shortlist was amazing. I was overwhelmed, said the professor. Overwhelmed at what? What was he
overwhelmed at? Yeah, overwhelmed at the stupidity of it. How can you possibly sanction something like that? When the world is falling apart because of all sorts of problems and scientific things that could be sorted out, and the BBC decide that these are, or allow somebody else to decide and sanction that these could possibly be four of the most important
It's easy. The producer's a genius.
Yeah?
The producer's a genius. What will happen is, man who writes for the London Times will write, "Oh, it's a wonderful programme. BBC are doing a fantastic job doing this programme because I'm on it." Which will stop him moaning about popular programmes like Radio 1.
I couldn't agree more. That's the problem. That goes back to what we're always talking about. And this is the absolute dumbing down of the BBC. Suddenly, they have dumbed themselves down to the level of the Daily Sport.
No, what they're doing is they're being smart and giving the people at the newspapers a programme to play with, which nobody's really interested in, hardly anybody will listen to stop them moaning about the popular programmes that all the young people want to listen to, and they're too old to understand what's going on. It's genius. It's absolute genius. Australian scientists find bats have regional accents, don't they, Lee?
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah, I talk to a lot of bats down here. And I've actually spoken to a Midlands bat. He says, "You're right, Emma."
Yeah,
like that.
Battle axe. Very good. Apparently, scientists have suspected this for ages and ages, that bats have distinctive regional calls. Jim lad, where's me house? Where's me bat cave? That was a bit Irish, wasn't it? But apparently this is proper research that you poor guys down in Australia have paid for. Sorry, Australia. And they've done all this stuff about bats and bat calls in different parts of New South Wales. And I have to say, why? What's the point?
Yeah, because they're probably going to make a BBC 4 programme out of it.
Yes, all right. Don't worry. The man from the London Times will be the judge. And he'll write nice things about it. Good stuff
here. Talking about bats, don't you think the Pope-mobile is like
the Batmobile? I knew that was. No, because it sticks up in the air, and the Batmobile was long and sleek.
It's like a big Pope.
Stop it. Behave yourself. The National Museum of Computing has received its largest ever consortium donation, apparently. Bletchley Park Capital Partners. I'm trying to figure out a simple way of explaining who they are. Many years ago, in the Second World War, which is quite prevalent at the moment historically because of the 70th anniversaries that are going on, Bletchley Park was where they actually broke the German code. A few decades later, Eric went there to learn how to be a telecoms person because Bletchley Park was taken over by what is now British Telecom, and a lot of us young 16-year-old lads were sent over there to do our training. It was wonderful. Then, of course, every government cutback came in and BT was privatised and Bletchley Park went into ruin. And it was really falling down. But then Bletchley Park Capital Partners started this huge, great charity to restore the thing and the mansion house and everything over there into something to be kept for the country. And I have to say, thank you.
Yes, well done. And yes, thank you for the country.
Yes, exactly.
On behalf of the country, I mean.
Absolutely. Colossus was one of the wartime computers, which was all bulbs and lamps and stuff, that was in Bletchley Park. But what they've actually done now is they've got this, and I've actually seen it, been privy enough to see some pictures of this. It's brilliant. They've got all sorts of computers going right the way back, and it's just... it's just an amazing thing. And the computer or computing museum started off on its own. It was sort of a little private thing. But now it's grown up and they've given it £100,000 to sort of build it all up. And previously companies like IBM and Hewlett-Packard were involved in the museum as well. But the nice thing is, for the next 3 years, there's going to be contributions of 12,500 from here and there. There's foundation sponsorships going on. And the good thing is that you guys can actually get to go there and have a look. So you can go to the Bletchley Park for a day out. And if you look them up on the internet, boys and girls, you can see Bletchley Park on the internet. It's very, very famous. And you can go over there, have a wander around. And if you go into the mansion, when I was there, because I haven't been there for years, as you go in the mansion, on the right-hand side was a bar. And what we used to do was we would talk to our mates who were over 18, get their pass, go into the bar and have a beer. Because we
That's disgusting.
But that was so many years ago, they can't do it before it now. And but you should have a wander around. And there's some amazing things there where you can actually see what happened in World War II. They've resurrected a load of it. So you can have a look around. And why not? It's just... I hate the fact that nobody looks after the history. And computing is an amazing history thing, unlike newspapers.
I think, right. I'm just treating that remark with me. But no, I agree with you entirely. To have done this for the people who've actually stood up and done this for Bletchley Park, they have done something brilliant for English heritage and for the memories of how this society and this world have grown. And thank you to each one individually for having the foresight to think of doing something like this.
Well, the Tim Reynolds, who's the chairman of Bletchley Park Capital Partners, said as neighbours of the museum on Bletchley Park, we've watched the development of the Key Computing Museum with great interest and admiration. We're amazed at how much they've been able to achieve, considering they've had no government or lottery funding, and pay the rent for the premises at Bletchley Park themselves. Unreal.
Exactly. Brilliant. That's the way things should happen. More of this sort of thing should happen.
Absolutely.
It's a good thing.
We've got a couple of quickies to do. Doggy Doodles, you've got 30 seconds.
Doggy Doos delights, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I just think it's an amazing thing that, like, if you've got a dog and you do that horrible thing of picking up after your pooch, to use the modern vernacular. Now, there is going to be, in America, they've come up with something in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where you can actually add what you've picked up into a methane digester, which will then power the streetlights.
Perfect. The all-new Twitter is out, by the way. it's got videos and stuff on it on their website. Marvellous. Internet Explorer 9, the beta's now out. If you want to have a go with that, I have no idea what the fuss is all about. And good news for you eco-friendly iPod people, there's now a solar-powered sound system for the iPod. Ah. Origin, lad. Where you can recharge your iPhone and listen to your music at a nice 11 watts, which is not bad, actually. It's got 4 hours of audio playback time. We'll put that onto screen for you so you can see the picture of it. And that's about it from us at Postcard from Poprad for another week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We've certainly enjoyed your company, haven't we, Lee?
We have. Well, we hope we've shivered your timbers.
Very good. I like that. Take care, boys and girls. Have a lovely week till next week. That was Lee G. Banks in the UK, Eric Wiltshire over in Poprad, Slovakia, with Postcard from Poprad. See you next week. Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.